Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
What's up, Church by the Glades? Great to see you, and I'll be the first one to wish you a happy new year. I want to wish you a happy 2020. Okay, they're confused. You are too. Why? You know it's late May, but guess what? I don't care. I want to start this year over. If any year need a do-over, it's 2020. Because this year has been crazy. It's been strange. It's been wonky and weird. If any year needed a reboot, it's 2020. If you already had your birthday, you get a birthday do-over. You want another birthday? You go ahead. You pick the date in the future. It's your new birthday, right? You want to make it November 13th. That's your birthday. Or you want to have two birthdays next year. I think that's all good. Or if you're my age, just want to skip your birthday altogether. That's fine as well. If you had a big anniversary, like Lisa tells me, anniversaries that end in zeros and fives are the big ones. You got to make sure, guys, you nail those. So if you promised your wife on your big anniversary in 2020 that you take her on a beautiful trip, but you were in quarantine, honey, can't do it. Oh, no. She still gets her trip, right? Ladies. And to our graduates of 2020, give it up for our graduates right now. We love you guys. I know this is not the graduation you envisioned over these years, but this does not diminish your accomplishment. We're so proud of you. And so we're finding creative ways to celebrate you. Thank you for your achievement. We're so proud of you guys, the graduates of 2020. And listen, if you missed your ceremony and some of the stuff, you're gonna be okay. In fact, personally, I did not go to my high school or college graduation. I had conflicts for both. One, my best buddy got married on my college graduation. I had to pick between being his groomsman or going to my graduation. So listen, I didn't go from a graduation from kindergarten to grad school. You'll be okay. I didn't need therapy. What you did is awesome. One more time, give it up for our graduates there in the chat. Give me a fist bump emoji or hand clap. Love our graduates. But 2020, it's been a weird year. It needs a reboot. So for the next few weeks, we're in a new series called 2020 2.0. And as quarantine around the world and here in America, even in South Florida where our physical campuses are, is kind of winding down and we're reemerging. We're embracing our freedom. As you step back out into the world, protection. Take precautions. Make sure you're okay. And here is Pastor Fred.
That's a huge thing for me, Pastor Hughes. Protection.
You look like an extra from Breaking Bad right now, man. Yeah, head to toe covered up.
The great thing about it here, Pastor, is that I don't have to worry about the 6 feet of social distancing business.
No, I can touch you. You're fine. You're good.
I can do whatever I want to.
You're all good. So Fred's being extra safe as he steps back out into the world. He's covered up, whatever it takes. By the way, Fred doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I wanted to celebrate Fred for a moment because if you've been enjoying church lately, Fred is in charge of all of our worship services at every campus. So at Sample Road campus, at Lake Worth campus, here at Sawgrass campus, our prison campuses. This is the smart guy. He's not just the funny guy in the pre-show, and he's funny in the pre-show. He and Heather are hysterical. But he is the guy that puts it all together. We worked together, Fred, how many years now? It's like coming up on 18 years.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for letting me wear this while you do all this too, by the way.
Fred was our first ever intern. You should intern at Church by the Glades.
Yes, and, absolutely.
He is logistically one of the best people. He is a genius. So if you've enjoyed the online experience, this is the guy. So would you please shout out Pastor Fred as Pastor Fred.
Thank you, Pastor.
Leaves the stage. And we'll get into this new brief series. How many weeks? I don't know how many weeks. 2022.0. Find your Bibles. Find the book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to jump into the conversation because probably as you emerge back out in the world, you're not quite as geared up as Fred. But you're taking precautions, right? You're wearing your mask. In fact, we went to a restaurant here recently. It's fun to have other people like cook and bring you food. Zane, his buddy Jack with us, they had their masks on, so wear your mask. How about this? Nick and Stacy and our team, they had to fly on some family business recently, wore their masks. But look at that pic. Look at the people on that plane. Oh my gosh, they don't have a chance, right? They're gonna get the virus. But you know, wear your gloves, wear your mask. By the way, if you notice people driving in their cars alone, wearing a mask. Wearing a mask. I don't understand. Do you do that? If you do that, explain why, because I understand why that's helping anything. I've seen people riding their bicycles in the open air all by themselves wearing a mask. I'm not sure how that helps, but you know, wear the mask, wear the gloves, you know, wash your hands, hand sanitizer, and you still cannot guarantee the fact that physically and medically you'll be okay. But spiritually, as you step into the world, God has given you some gear. God has given you a spiritual hazmat suit, if you will, described in Ephesians chapter 6. It's one of the great passages in the Bible. I want to explore this great passage. It's something called the full armor of God. It's awesome stuff written by the Apostle Paul. Now, a little biblical placement and context. Ephesians is right next to Philippians. We spent 5 weeks in Philippians chapter 4. So if you have an old school paper Bible like me, just turn like one book to the left. You'll find Ephesians. By the way, the position is intentional because I think it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians were all written at the same time, we believe, and they're called the prison letters. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote all four of these letters that became parts of the Bible from prison, probably in Rome. In fact, my theory is this. The Bible doesn't say why, but I think once in a while, God had to slow the Apostle Paul down. He was so dynamic, such a great leader, so intentional. And so Paul was not thrown in prison by God, but God allowed it to happen just to slow him down, to give him time to write the Bible. You know, if you've been frustrated by the fact in quarantine that your pace has slowed down, maybe you should steward that time wisely. Maybe there's some project you've been putting off, procrastinating. This is your moment to take advantage. Do something that lasts. The churches Paul planted, they don't exist anymore. But the letters he wrote in prison encourage churches and believers to this very day, over 2,000 years. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. We'll jump right into the study. I can't wait for this one. I'm so excited to jump into this. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand firm. That's God's goal for you, to stand firm. In a world when way too many people compromise, cave, and capitulate, and vacillate, as God's people, we stand firm. We are called to be bold. We're called to be fearless. We're called to be strong. We're called to be successful. We're called to be brave. So God has given you this spiritual gear to help you stand firm. Then Paul lists the components of the spiritual armor, kind of item by item, in verse 14 and following on the screen right now. He says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet shod or fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows, your Bible might say, or the flaming darts of the evil one. Finally, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. These items are your spiritual armor. I want to describe these over the next couple of weeks. So where do we start? Well, I want to tackle this like a Quentin Tarantino movie, kind of devoid of the gratuitous violence and profanity, okay? He tells stories in a nonlinear way. I love to jump around. In fact, I preach sermons for smart people. Smart people. It's like an episode of Seinfeld, so don't multitask, don't check out Instagram, you'll be lost a moment. So here's a sermon for smart people, stay with me, but let's take this out of sequence. Based on the fact that conversation as we emerge from quarantine is about protection, let's talk about verse 16, the shield of faith, the shield of faith. Because for a warrior in the ancient world, oh, the weapons were cruel and violent. Your shield was so important. So Paul is being creative. All this armor, his inspiration, no doubt, is a Roman soldier. He's imprisoned in Rome. He's chained to a guard, we believe, maybe 24 hours a day. And anyone he writes to has seen a Roman soldier. Why? The Romans were in charge of most of Europe, North Africa, and the Near East. So whether you're in Israel or Greece or Spain, Ethiopia, you saw Roman soldiers all the time. So they recognized this armor. Now, if you were a warrior, the shield was the main thing that kept you safe. The weapon tech at the time, all kinds of violent, vicious weapons. Metal-tipped spears and arrows and lances, battle axes. The fiery arrows or fiery darts here in Ephesians chapter 6. It's like a dart that you would use at a pub playing darts, a little dartboard. They'd weigh sometimes a half a pound, made of lead, pointed on the end, and they'd tip them with pitch and light them on fire and launch them high into the air. Your shield was vital to keep you safe. For the Christian, our shield is faith, the shield of faith. Do you like biblical detail?
Yes.
Okay, these guys do. Do you like it? Put it in the chat. Okay, a little background here. So the Roman soldiers had two different kinds of shields. One was a small round shield. Think Captain America's shield, minus the red, white, and blue, right? Movies, you'll see this kind of shield from time to time. In the movie Gladiator, you see Russell Crowe uses when he's fighting in the arena this kind of round shield, the one we typically think of. Now, this shield was effective, but it was small, and you had to be proficient with it. Why? Because so much of your body is not shielded by this shield. Now, this is not the shield used in Ephesians chapter 6. The word here is a thureos, a thureos. Let's say a Greek word together, thureos. Yeah, okay, you're now speaking Greek. Here we go. Thureos is not the little round shield. It's a large rectangular shield. A thureos was big. It would cover the majority of your body. In fact, to help you visualize a thureos, same movie, Russell Crowe's Gladiator, they use a thureos. And in fact, the Greek word for thureos is the same root word we get the word door from. It kind of looks like a door. Little undersized, but people back in the day were smaller. And by the way, doors were smaller too. People required less headroom. So a thureos is a shield that kind of works like a door, looks like a door. And a Roman thureos actually had a beveled edge. Why? What the Romans didn't fight as individuals, their great military success was they fought in tandem, in legions. The legionnaires would have these large rectangular shields and would stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, with the shields interlocked. It made a perfect and seamless protective wall, one soldier to the next. Surely there's biblical imagery here, that when God gives us the shield of faith, we're to use it together. Your success as a believer hinges on the fact that we do it together. We need each other. We're more successful together. We're more secure together. We're safer together. Our protection is maximized together. We surely take more turf together. That's why this thing called church is so vital. By the way, we've been challenging you not to spectate or watch and share, but to what? Connect and share. If you're watching online right now, I hope you're taking the additional step to connect. You're engaging in the chat. By the way, more than that, we have life groups meeting online. We have great ministries to your young people. We have The Wave online. We have Kids Stuff Ministry. First Look. Take the step and engage. God designed us to be a large spiritual family, a spiritual army. We are God's legion. We're protected by faith when we work together. This thing called church, and hopefully soon the church doors will open. When? Don't know. Pray for wisdom on that. We're weighing all kinds of variables, the need, the biblical mandate to gather together at the same time to be safe. So we're going to try to make the best plan we can, valuing both the command of Scripture and your safety at the same time. But when the doors open, when you're in South Florida, get here. Get here. When you feel safe, when you feel secure, we'll maintain a dynamic, engaged online presence as we go on. But when you can get to church, get to church. We need this. And by the way, it's a biblical command. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 is on the screen right now. Look what the author of Hebrews says. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Back in the ancient church, some people were playing hooky from church. They were missing out on church. But the purpose of church is to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we're biblically commanded to meet together. So whether you're in the room or you're part of the Amen Virtual Corner. Where's my Amen Corner right now? Amen Corner. Bring up the Amen Corner, folks. There they are. Oh, y'all looking good today. Good today. So engage, invite. In fact, you can invite people right now. Take a moment and just press that button or click on that little paper airplane. Invite someone to be part of this experience right now. So we're going to connect and share. We got to do life together. The shield of faith is protection, but we do it together. In fact, this is such a serious issue. What are you binge watching right now? What are you guys binge watching? What are you binge watching? Anything? What are you binge watching? You can put it in the chat. What? Tiger King. I'm so sorry for that response. Yeah, whatever it is. Gosh, we've been watching the season 6 of The Flash came out. Been watching that. I watch stuff my family doesn't like. Like, I love channels like Nat Geo and Discovery Channel. No, my family likes that. I like that stuff. I love nature shows. And you'll watch a show about, like, the African Serengeti, and there's predators, all kinds of predators, like lions and, of course, hyena. Well, it says in the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the devil is a roaring lion looking who he can devour. And so if you watch those shows, those predators, sometimes they take down very large prey. You'll see them take down a buffalo or a rhino even sometimes. You know what they do? They always pick on one that strayed from the herd. Every single time, that's the strategy. A rhino actually is not a herd, they call it a crash. But if a rhino leaves the crash, leaves his brothers and sisters, he's easy prey for the predator. Same thing is true spiritually. We need to do life together. I need you, and you need me. So when I think of the shield of faith, I think about the church. It is our protection from the attacks of the enemy. But the second way I think of the shield of faith, I think of not just protection, I think of salvation. Yeah. Salvation. When I say three, would you please say the word salvation? 1, 2, 3.
Salvation.
It's a biblical term. Jesus talked about being saved all the time. So have you been saved? Do you understand biblical salvation? The reason I think of the shield of faith and salvation at the same time, faith is the only thing we do in the salvation process. See, if you're right now going, David, what is salvation? Salvation, gosh, is so many great things. I mean, I'm a saved person. That means that God has forgiven all my sin. I mean, all the stupid, selfish, dumb things I've done my whole life, I've been justified. Another biblical term, justified, just as if I'd never done it. Wow. I've been forgiven, I've been freed, I've been qualified for heaven. Amen. At the end of my life, I don't hope I'm going to heaven. I have a God promise I'm on my way to heaven. Because I'm saved, I've been adopted into God's forever family. I'm his son. The Holy Spirit lives in my life. I've been blessed with God's power, God's provision, all those benefits and so much more because of salvation. So question, have you been saved? You know, well, David, what's the formula? What religious ritual do I have to go through? You know, how moral do I have to be? How many rules do I keep? It's not that. The only thing we bring to the salvation equation is faith. Jesus did all the work needed for salvation. Salvation is a completed work based on what Jesus accomplished at Calvary. All I do is believe in what Jesus said and what he did. That's how someone is saved. So I think about the shield of faith. Faith is our part in the salvation process. Let me show you some famous verses. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is a famous verse. Look at this great verse. It's a verse that describes the dynamic of salvation. It says, for by grace you have been saved by
faith.
That's all we do. It's not my works or my good deeds or my generosity or my prayer life. Those things are great, but they don't save me. All I do is believe in what God has already done through Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Famous, famous verse. I love famous verses. Verses like, John 10:10. John 10:10 is a famous verse. It lands where Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. Jesus is not just saying, I want to give you life eternal or life in heaven. I want your life right here on earth to be powerful. I want your life on earth to be blessed. I want your life on earth to be a life on point with power. I want your life to be abundant and full. How good is Jesus? John 10:10. See what that's a famous verse? But maybe the verse just before should be famous as well. John 10:9. It gives the context, what has to happen before you enjoy this abundant life. In John 10:9, and I love the metaphor Jesus uses here, he says, I am the
door.
I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be
saved.
He will be saved. He says, I am the door. Door. Now remember that word, thureos, the word for shield, is also the same word for what? Door. I love how scripture weaves together. So Jesus, trying to make salvation as plain and clear as possible, says, think of salvation like this. I am the door. If you want to be saved, you pass through the threshold of faith in me. You step into the kingdom by faith. Jesus says, I am the what? The door. So salvation is not just admiring the door, acknowledging the door. No, it's stepping through the door of faith. So questions, a couple questions, transparent, if you will, be honest, if you will. Do you know there's been a time in your life when you've stepped through the door of salvation by placing your faith in Jesus? Has there been a moment in your life you stepped through the door? A moment. See, something like, David, is there really a moment that happens? Well, I think for most people who are saved, there's a moment. Yeah. Yeah. Again, whenever the Bible is confusing, use scripture to help you understand scripture. Jesus said, I am the door, John 10:9. I'm the door to salvation. I'm the door if you want to be saved. John 3:3, same book. He's in a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. We know Nicodemus was a moral man, a very religious man, a humble man, a spiritual man, became a Jesus follower later in that same gospel. But at this point, he's not yet a Jesus disciple. And they're having this conversation about spiritual things. And Jesus blows Nicodemus out of the water in John 3:3 by saying this, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Unless a man is, say it with me, born again. Now, Nicodemus never heard this expression. He said, that makes no sense, Jesus. I mean, how can someone like me, old, be born again? And Jesus went on to describe, there's two births. There's your physical birth. Then when you're saved, there is your spiritual birth. Question, what is your birthday? What is your birthday? Go ahead and put it down in the chat right now. What is your, I might send you a present. Probably won't, but I could. Anyways, what is your birthday? What is your birthday? Now, if you just put down a day and a month, that being technical, nitpicking here, that's not really your birthday. That's the anniversary of your birthday. Your birthday includes a year, right? So I remember the day of the birth of my kids. March 3rd, 2000. I mean, my life changed so much because I became a dad. Charlie Hughes entered our world about 1 o'clock least in the afternoon. That was the day of his birth. It was March 3rd, 2000. A little over a year later, Victoria, man, became the father of a baby girl, beautiful baby girl. That was June 4th, 2001. I'm doing my kids' birthdays here off the top of my head. By the way, kind of bang, bang, you notice we had him and then quickly we had her. And wow, life got really busy. People ask, was Victoria a good baby? Or like, I don't even know. We were so busy, I can't even tell if she was a good, we think she was. And then much later, a little God surprise, if you will, February 17, 2009, Zane Michael entered our world. That's his birthday. Remember that happened? It was afternoon on a Tuesday. The days of the birth, you remember. Yeah, right. Do you remember the day of your spiritual birth?
Yes.
Mine, I grew up in church. My parents were brilliant, man. They raised us in the house of God. Yeah. Why? My mom and dad, I did a good job picking parents, man. They were great people, had integrity. But they recognized even good parents need all the help they can get, and they raised us in the house of God, and they found all these allies and partners in the kids' ministry, in the student ministry, these cool young people pouring into us, our partners in this. We have the same kind of people here at Church by the Glades. Our kids, our three kids are pretty good kids. I take no credit. God's grace, a great mom, and awesome people who poured into my kids. Some are in the room right now. I'm so grateful for you guys. And being the allies you are in the student ministry, our kids' ministry, man, you help my kids make good choices. You help my kids love God. Well, my parents raised us the same way. So one of the great things I love is Camp United. We do a camp here, and it's phenomenal. And what Camp United looks like this year, is we don't know yet. Just hang in there. We'll figure that out. But I went to my first, like, church camp thing. I went to something called RA camp, like Baptist Boy Scouts. I was 9. And we had a great time, man. We fished. I loved to fish. And we played basketball. And we had archery and BB guns. Kind of a lot of violence thinking about. A lot of things like that. And we had a speaker every night talking about the Word of God and Jesus. And I can't remember a thing that guy said. But I remember the BB gun instructor. Because one day he invited me to go fishing with him. Wake up early in the morning, go fishing. He was like the coolest guy in the camp. BB gun guy, man. Don't even know his name to this day. And so we went fishing early one morning, this guy in his young 20s, and I thought he wanted to catch a fish, and he did, but mainly he wanted to help me understand something very important. And shortly as we began to fish, he said, David, are you a Christian? Now, I'd grown up in church, but no one ever asked me that question with that kind of clarity. Are you a Christian? I didn't know what to say. I said, well, I go to church. I'll never forget what he responded. He said, well, you go to McDonald's. That doesn't make you a Big Mac. I thought, I guess going to church doesn't make you a Christian. It's a great thing, but it doesn't make you a Christian. I said, well, I've not been baptized yet. He said, well, baptism is a beautiful thing, but that just gets you wet, doesn't get you saved. Yeah. By the way, I can't wait till we can baptize again. Yeah. And finally he explained to me what Christ had already done, that Jesus loved me and died on the cross to pay for my sin, but I had to accept him by faith. He explained Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He invited me to give my heart to Christ. And I said, well, how do I do it? He said, well, you pray a prayer. It says in the same chapter, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I was scared to death. This guy wanted me to pray in front of him. I don't know what to say. He invited me to repeat a prayer of salvation after him. So I just echoed his prayer. I just repeated his prayer, but I meant it. He prayed, dear Jesus, and I said, dear Jesus, and he said, I believe you're the Son of God, and I prayed, I believe you're the Son of God, and I prayed a Romans 10:9 prayer. At the end, he said, in Jesus' name, and I said, amen. I didn't hear the angels sing. I didn't feel different, but based on the promise of Scripture, that day I passed through the door of salvation. Has there been that time for you? And you're like, but David, I got questions. Guess what? God loves questions. All kinds of questions in the Bible. God can handle your hard God questions. He's highly secure. Your questions will never knock him off his throne. By the way, Church by the Glades is a very safe place to ask God questions. Doing your research right now online. Brilliant. So what are your questions? Bring your questions. I can guess some. Somebody's asking, okay, David, the whole door thing. Jesus said, I am the door. Well, you know, aren't pretty much all these religious doors the same? Like, don't all these doors get you to God or heaven by taking different pathways? And basically you're asking, aren't all religions pretty much the same thing? All doors? Okay, listen, I love that idea. That's so open-minded, so wonderfully democratic, right? That's, you know, all different religions and faiths. Now listen, I have the utmost respect for all the great world religions. I love sincere, good people that believe very differently than me. I respect their faith. In fact, we have lots of shared truth. Certain ideas you see in the different world religions, like Jesus said, you will reap what you sow, you will harvest what you plant. Eastern religions talk about karma, same idea, right? Lots of shared truth, but there are some clear differences. So if you're asking that question, don't all like religious doors lead to heaven or lead to the same place? Well, how's that work in life? Let's just be logical here. Where are you watching from right now? You're watching from Topeka or Tallahassee or Tamarack, right here in this area, Tamarack. You're watching for Tamarack, all right. Pick a door. You live in Tamarack, just pick a door. So you walk to the door and you open the door. The door is unlocked and you go inside the door of this home and you make yourself at home, right? You go to the kitchen and you go to the fridge. You pull out a drink. Oh, they have Diet Dr. Pepper, Jesus' favorite soft drink. And you take one. You love that. And go to the pantry. They have Flaming Hot Doritos. You love Flaming Hot Doritos. And open those up. And you go to the family room. There's a TV and Netflix. Oh, Flash, season 6. Binge watching that, right? And turn it on, kick your feet up. Well, it's not the door to your house. The homeowner comes home, sees you eating his food, drinking his Dr. Pepper, watching his TV, your feet on his coffee table, sitting on his couch. What are you gonna do? You try that in front of him. Hey, all doors are the same. All doors lead to the same place. It's not gonna work for you. You're probably getting beat up or tased or pepper sprayed. You're surely going to jail. There's only one door in Tamarack that leads you home. Only one. I'm sorry if that sounds narrow, but Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, but no man comes to the Father except through me. There's only one door that gets you home. In Tamarack, in fact, there's probably 1 billion doors in the world. 8 billion people, maybe 1 billion doors. There's only one door that gets you home. Jesus said, I am the door. I am. So have you stepped through the door of salvation that is Jesus Christ? In fact, here's a question. Would now be the perfect time? would this be just the right time to give your heart to Jesus Christ? In fact, I love Jesus actually turns the metaphor. I love this idea of the door, this shield, this door, this faith thing throughout the Bible. In the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he takes this idea of the door, but he turns it a little bit. Here's what he says. Look at this. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Have fellowship with him and he with me. He says, next time Jesus says, guess what? Behold, it's me. This door represents not the door of your house, but the door of your heart, the door of your life. He said, I'm knocking at the door. Would you just please recognize me and invite me in? What a great time to do that. In fact, I remember a story years ago when Muhammad Ali was at the apex of his popularity. For all you young guns, listen, Ali, when he was at the top of his game, was the most famous athlete in the world by far. In fact, I would argue his fame has never been touched. Forget Tiger Woods or MJ or LeBron. I mean, awesome, very popular. But man, he was everywhere. He was the greatest fighter of all time. In fact, when he beat George Foreman in Zaire, he was so famous, flying out of Africa in his private jet, an interviewer, probably Howard Cosell, asked him, "How famous are you, Muhammad?" He says, "I'm this famous. No matter where this plane flies in the world, wherever the city is beneath us, we land the plane, we walk through the city, you pick a house, you pick a door." Muhammad said, "If I knock on the door, the person, no matter where in the world it is, opens the door, they'll recognize me and invite me to dinner." It was probably true. He was crazy famous. Jesus is more famous than Muhammad Ali. Jesus is more powerful than Muhammad Ali. Jesus is more transformative, more blessed. He can save you. And I think through his Holy Spirit, he's knocking on the door of your life right now. So can I ask you a question again? Isn't this, don't you think, the perfect time to give yourself by faith, step through the salvation door with Jesus Christ right now? David, I don't know. This has helped me. Thank you so much. I feel closer, but I still have other questions. I have issues. I don't feel like I'm ready or worthy. Can I show you one more verse? We'll close with this one. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It talks about God's perfect timing, the timing of salvation, the timing to pass through the door. It's on the screen right now. Read loudly. Here's what the Spirit says through the Apostle Paul again. "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor." Look at this. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says now. But there's some smart person, you're a little bit of a cynic, you're like a skeptical person, like, wait a minute, time out, David. That verse was written like, I don't know, what, 2,000 years ago to the Corinthian people, what they lived in like Greece, and that's not relevant for me. All that is true. Paul wrote that letter of 2 Corinthians just like the letter of Ephesians to encourage believers in the ancient world. He probably had no idea he was writing the Bible, but God had bigger plans. God preserved and protected that text, put it in the Bible, and then God loved you so much, he protected this statement written by someone else to a different audience 2,000 years ago, but he got all up on your stuff. Someone tagged you or invited you, and right now, there as you watch your smartphone or your iPad or your laptop, you see this verse that Paul wrote for them, but God has intended for you. This is nothing less than a beautiful, blessed, divine intersection. God is invading your life with his love, his grace. This is your moment. Won't you seize it? Can I be the anonymous BB gun instructor in your life? I would love the honor of leading you in a prayer of salvation. Again, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. No need to pray out loud for the people around you in the room. You keep your eyes open. Don't have to say the words because God's a genius. He can read your mind. But a salvation prayer might go something like this. Just take my words, make them your words. Same thing the BB gun guy did for me. God's not measuring the words. He's weighing the sincerity of your heart. Maybe you pray something like this. Okay, God, I'm in. I'm saying yes. I know you're not surprised. I am. I didn't think today would be my day, but I think now is the time, and today is my day of salvation. I'm saying yes to all of it. I'm saying yes to forgiveness. I'm saying yes to freedom. I'm saying yes to heaven. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Come into my life, change me forever. I believe you died on that cross to pay for my sin. You arose again, and you're alive right now, and you are saving me because I make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, great job. Well done. And welcome to the spiritual family. You're our fellow warrior right now. What a great thing you have done. Now listen, you need to let somebody know about this, and we want to help you. If you would just text SALVATION to the number you see on the screen right now, one of our folks will reach out to you. We're not going to ask anything from you, but probably you want to know what your next steps are. And then I want to talk about how you know for certain you're saved as you watch the service this next week. So make sure you plug in every week. Engage, connect at Church by the Glades. But what God has just done in your life is bigger than you know. You've been born again. You've stepped through the door of salvation that is Jesus Christ, and no one can ever take that from you. Things are about to change. When you're born again, things are different. So welcome to a new future. Welcome to a new day. Welcome to a new 2020. Welcome to a new you, the new you 2.0. God bless.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.